Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Sean Burke spent last week at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. He's touring the country in a 40-foot bus to encourage American voters to press the reset button in politics. He's the founder of ResetOurGov, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that encourages Americans to head to the polls and address the country's staggering national debt. He is the author of the book, How to Press America's Reset Button. He's joining us from our SDPB studios in Rapid City. Sean Burke, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me.
First question, did you find a place to park?
Well, I did. I was up at Buffalo Chip. They were very kind to me and gave me a place to park. And we sold some T-shirts and books. First time I've done that on the road is T-shirts and books. But it was interesting. I had a good time up there.
So what kind of questions were people asking you at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally?
Well, it was more dismay. My entire focus is let's do something about what's going on in D.C. And they all felt, what can we do? Mm-hmm. So and one gentleman walked away kind of, well, good luck with that. And I actually, my response was, well, it's for all of us. So it's interesting to see how far down towards kind of being apathetic the public is towards feeling that they can make any real change in Washington.
And you wrote in your book, it's always possible to do something.
Well, I think that's true. I think in anything in your life, at least I've found that to be true. If you have to look at it, you have to work it around and maybe research it. But somewhere there's going to be an Achilles heel to every problem. And I feel that there has to be in this situation with our government, because I can't give up. I think what we have is so special in history. Part of what I've looked at is going all the way back to looking at how long great civilizations last. And what we have is very special. And I don't think that we should be flippant about it. And I think we should do all we can to make sure it stays and endures.
So where do we begin? We're frustrated with, let's talk about the, I think you might say one of the top frustrations is a national debt or a deficit, and you explain the difference between those two words in your book. So just very quickly lay out the difference between the debt and the deficit.
Well, I found it interesting that I had to do that. Someone on the radio the other day was talking about deficit when they meant debt, but the debt is our accumulated, obvious money that we owe. A deficit is, in our budget, what we overspend. So it's a deficit is a yearly thing. Debt is our accumulation of all those deficits.
So if someone says we reduce the deficit, don't throw a party just yet.
Well, it's interesting. There usually is a party. We're going to reduce the deficit down to $300 billion. And I'm thinking, why are we partying for that? In fact, we have $19.5 trillion in debt, and we're going to celebrate that we've gotten the deficit down to only $300 billion. It's kind of silly that we've actually gotten ourselves worked around to actually think that somehow that's good.
So where do we begin as individual voters? Because this book is not a book for policymakers. It's a book for citizens and voters. Where do we start addressing the state of the country right now?
Well, I intentionally wrote it for voters. There's too many people who are not voting. The last election, 140 million people didn't vote, the worst in 70 years. And if we all opt out, then it goes into smaller and smaller hands, and we really don't have a say on where we're going. So where we start and what I did, I did this for my kids. Honestly, 4 years ago, I don't know what happened. I had an epiphany one day reading about what Congress was doing with our deficit and our debt. And I just, something snapped. And I thought, they don't know what they're doing. They're not looking long term. They're thinking very short term. And so I just went into action and had to do my own research on what we can do as citizens. This is a movement for me of what can you, me, you, all of us as individual citizens actually do besides complain or just go to the voting booth and not know quite what to do. So I looked at, do you hold up a sign or you sign a petition or do you run and charge the gates at the White House and get arrested? I mean, what do you do to try and make change? And eventually I worked my way back through the Constitution and our founding fathers and really looked at what it is they had intended. And eventually I just settled on the only power we have under our Constitution truly is our vote. You can vote for someone. You cannot tell them what to think. You cannot tell them what to say. Back in those days, you were, let's say, a farmer. You sent away your representative to that place way over in Washington somewhere, and you'd continued your work. You didn't have daily communication, so you weren't going to advise that person, of course. So you trusted that they would hopefully act in your best interests. So the only thing we can do is give a job to someone to go represent us. But I realized that there's power in that. If that's our only power, it is powerful. Well, we can actually take their job away. So I finally just came up to the fact, after I researched the fact that after over 84 years, our government has only balanced the budget 12 times, going back to 1931, I realized it has nothing to do with parties. Also realized parties aren't part of the Constitution. They're actually not part of the government. George Washington warned against them. John Adams didn't like it. All this stuff started happening in my world. And I just thought, you know what? I think the only thing we can do to really disrupt what's going on in D.C. with the special interests and whatnot is we do exactly what the Founding Fathers said to do, is we do a peaceful overthrow. If we don't like what's going on in Washington, you vote them out. I think that if you put someone's job at risk, I think they would start waking up. And maybe it's a Hail Mary pass. I don't know. But it's the only thing I can think to do.
What if you don't like the alternative of who's running against them? Because you'll hear that. People will say, really don't like this candidate, but man, their opponent is even worse.
Yeah, and you know, I have to say what my movement is and what I'm trying to do is based on Congress. So everyone asks me all the time about the presidential race, and we're so focused on that one race. It's a reality TV show as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but so I'm talking about the state congressional races.
No,
you'll hear that here. You'll hear somebody, you know, dissatisfied with one of our representatives, but not a fan of who's running, you know, a campaign against them. You hear it on a local level all the time.
I agree. And I tell people, you've got to make that decision on who you want to vote for. But I am telling you that regardless of who you put in office, the same system is going to keep going. Look where we are today. No matter, we keep doing the same thing over and over by trying to choose per party what we want to do. And we arrived here. So I'm suggesting let's actually do something new. And just vote in someone else. And in 2 years, if you don't like what they've done, throw them out too, because they're going to promise whatever they want to promise. They'll say whatever they want to say to get into office, and you can't tell them what to think. So that's what I tell people is, yep, you may not like the alternative, but I think that's the only way we're going to disrupt what's going on in D.C.
Hold them accountable when they get in office for what they promised.
Absolutely. Well, not even so much. For me, you have to start looking at, first, from my biggest issue is the debt and the deficit. Others will have other issues, but I firmly believe that number one in all of our cases should be our debt and deficit, because if we fail financially as a country, none of the other issues will really matter, because without the foundation of finance running through, people having jobs, people being able to pay off their car loans and house loans and having actual commerce moving through our country, we then go into a completely different situation. I was in in Los Angeles during the Rodney King riots years ago, and I watched how quickly populations can turn. And I drove home that night with buildings burning around me, and it happened very fast. So I think we move into chaos for a while if we actually collapse as a country financially. So that's number one to me, is let's get that in place and then worry about the various issues that we all care about. They're not important. It's just, I think the most important thing we can do right now is get this financial situation under control.
Give me just an idea of what that system in Washington looks like with lobbyists. I know you've got some background dealing with the lobby industry, if that's what you call it, and how lobbying actually works.
Yeah, well, you know, when you say background, I wasn't a lobbyist. Let's make clear of that.
Right.
But I worked very, very short time in Washington for 2 months. But also I tried to get a TV show made based on the lobby industry. And I did study it, and I have talked to a lot of people. It works where the lobbyists, it's very simple. Money comes from a lobby interest to our elected leaders, period. And so they actually help fund the campaigns for these people to run again. So you have these special interests that put quite a bit of money in place. Now, for example, I looked up last night, John Thune has $12 million in his reelection or in his campaign coffers if he runs again. I mean, he's running this year, but he has $12 million sitting there. So that came from various industries. Blackstone is one of the top that has contributed to him, which is a huge financial business. So these businesses give to our elected leaders, and I find it impossible to believe that you can't have some feeling of debt or owe to those organizations, especially, and I put this in my book, there's a fictitious lady that I show that ran for Congress, and you first when you're running is you do get some money, and okay, I got to do that to win, but you have to continue doing it. So you have to go back to these people. So if you're not having things go the way they want, they're not going to contribute to you again. So I just don't understand. If you really step back from this, I don't understand how we allow money to transfer from large amounts. I think if we had smaller amounts, and in fact, why couldn't it be anonymous? Anyway, we could go into a lot of different ideas. But there is that transaction, and I think that transaction is the root of our problems. And I think if we could figure out a way to stop it, I think our country would change.
Where are you heading next?
I go back to Pierre. I'm in Rapid now. I'm from Pierre. I graduated there, and my family's flying in, so it's kind of a little homecoming. I still have family in Pierre. We've been in there since the 1800s. And then I drive west, so I go down through Denver and Albuquerque and then to the West Coast.
How are you going to know that you have made an impact with this tour? What's your definition of personal success?
Wow. Did you have to ask that question? I have high expectations. That's the problem. And I don't know, Lori. I'll tell you, I'm on the road until November 8th. It'll be 1 year on the road. And November 9th, I really don't know what will come that day and how I'll feel. I think this is a long-term look. I hope we can affect the election to some degree this year. But I think that people, by reading my book, anyone who reads it who was thinking they weren't going to vote this year have written to me and said they're absolutely going to vote. Mm-hmm. It shows your power as a citizen. And I hope that over a long-term period that people start thinking this way, that they actually do have power over their government. Because ultimately, if it fails, it's on us. Because there is no one else who's in charge of it but us.
The book is called How to Press America's Reset Button. The author is Sean Burke. That's B-U-R-K-E. If you're looking for that title online. Sean, I hope you'll come back and give us an update later on, closer to the election, and tell us how it's going.
I'd love to. Thanks, Lori, very much.
Thanks for stopping by today.